Welcome.
Well, let's just give thanks to the Lord and ask for his help. Our loving Father in heaven, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We thank thee, Lord, that the stars sing to your glory. And we thank thee again, Lord, that your name is great and your heart is so kind. And Lord, we thank thee again, as our brother was talking about creation, that you have created us in thine own image. And Lord, for thy glory you created us, and for thy pleasure you created us. And we are thankful this evening, Lord, even today, that we can communicate with thee, Lord, that we can have you in all parts of our lives. And so, Lord, we want to bless you and thank you again. We thank you for your word, Lord. It's a treasure house to us. As we look into it, we find a comfort for our soul. And Lord, we are satisfied there, that we have peace with God. And our loving Father, we thank thee again that we find in there that our great shepherd takes care of us day and night. He never slumbers or sleeps. How thankful we are for such a wonderful Savior. So, Lord, we thank thee again for the prayers of the saints. And we thank thee for each and every one that have joined us this evening. We thank thee for our friends in India and in China. We thank thee for all the outreaches that we're having. And Lord, we pray that your people would be a blessing wherever they are in the world. Bless them that they can be a blessing to others. So Lord, we commend ourselves to thee this evening. We thank thee again for all the prayers gone up. And Lord, we just pray thee to add your blessings to those prayers. So Lord, we commend ourselves to thee and ask for thy help as we look into your word, that you could teach us by thy spirit. And Lord, that we would get to know you more and more as the time goes by, and as we look forward to the time that we will be with you forevermore. We thank you now and ask these things in the precious and worthy name of our wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Last time I was speaking, I was speaking about encouragement that our Lord gives us. And throughout the Bible, right from the beginning in the book of Genesis, when the first man and woman fell into sin and their life was just turned upside down and they hid themselves from God in the trees, the Lord came to them to encourage them that he will provide a way out for them, that he would send a savior who would crush the serpent's head and his servant would have his heel crushed. So Lord, we thank thee that throughout the whole word, right from the beginning to the end, Lord, you have put encouragement into our hearts every time we read your word. And Lord, even in the last book of the Bible, we read that you're coming soon, and our hearts and our souls do say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." So Lord, we thank thee for the hope that you have put into us. And Lord, we rejoice another day. And Lord, we thank you again for the gospel that's going out this another day. And Lord, we know that it will be having the effects on people's hearts, that many will turn to the Savior for salvation. And we trust you for that the Spirit of God would be continuing to work until that day that our Savior comes back again. So we were talking about the sorrows and the toils of life that we have, and the Lord comforting us through all those things so that our hearts will be lifted up and that we won't be depressed all the time and that we won't find any joy in life. So last time I was speaking and I read some verses in Isaiah chapter 41, and maybe we can start there again. Isaiah chapter 41. And the Lord speaking here in verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Excuse me. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And also he says in verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand and saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. So these are great words of encouragement to us as we go through life, that we're not just going through life ourselves, but the Lord is with us continually. Now, today, what I wanted to read and was a story in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, no, pardon me. If we could go to the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel 1 and chapter 30. So the first book of Samuel, chapter 30. So after all the sorrows of life and all the toils of life comes the joy everlasting with our Lord Jesus. And this is true for most people. And you remember our Lord Jesus and all the sorrow and the toil that he went through in life. And then he received the glory when he went back to heaven and the joy everlasting that he's got there when he will receive us unto himself. We put on a smile and walk in the sun when we get into heaven. But here, many times our hearts are sorrowed. Many events happen in our lives that bring us to sorrow and to distress. And many times brings tears to our eyes. Our God Jehovah is a great encourager from the beginning of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis right to the end of Genesis, into the end of the book of Revelation. The devil is watching man when he fell into sin, how man is squirming and struggling and suffering through the frailty of his body that's brought about by sin. So because of this sin that we have acquired from our parents and these bodies of sin, we go through a lot of suffering. The angels of God are watching. The grace of God is pouring into the frail men and women today and all the difficulties that they're facing, the situations of suffering man's going through in life, overcame through their great faith in God. We don't, the angels are watching all these things that are taking place, and whether it was in the Old Testament or here in our present day, the angels look down and they see God's people suffering through all the toils and sorrows of life, and they see how they receive these, and they wonder at the grace of God that he pours out to his people to endure these hardships. And God writes these many stories in the New Testament and the Old Testament of men who overcame through their great faith in their God. We don't know how difficult life will get and what difficulties we will face in our lives. We must be brave and we must be courageous and strong in our faith. Be not dismayed as God. There are many battles to face and to win and to overcome. And the Lord will take us through these battles, holding our hands. We will not be alone in that. So we want to read in the first book, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Want to read a story about David. You know, David didn't have a very pretty life. When you think about the difficulties and the storms that we go through in life, and you compare them to the life that David had, our difficulties are absolutely nothing compared to what he went through in life. And just a little bit of a background before we read chapter 30 in 1 Samuel. David's life was a very challenging life, a very difficult life. Many years he spent running and hiding from King Saul, who was pursuing him to kill him because he didn't want David to be the king. And from city to city he went. Wherever he found out that David was, he would take thousands of his men there to try to kill David. And from cave to cave, and wherever he found some word, he had spies out everywhere. And when he got word that David was in a certain cave, he would go there with his thousands of people in the army to go and pursue David. And David would have to run to another cave, and he'd have to run into the wilderness. And there was no stability of life. There was no stable food to eat. And David was on the run for many, many years of his life, and he had just a horrible life. So at the end of it there, he went into the Philistines country, into the Philistines, to seek shelter there and refuge there, because he knew that he wouldn't be sought out there among the Philistines. So Saul would not find him there. He would not go there. So there he was there for 1 year and 4 months. And he found some kind of a peace and solidarity there when he was there amongst the Philistines. And the Philistines, you remember that he slew many, many Philistines in his life when he was battling and he was working under the military of Saul, King Saul, when they were going out to battle. And he would slay his thousands, and Saul would slay his hundreds, and Saul would get very jealous of that. And so he was there 1 year and 4 months in the land of the Philistines, and he convinced them that he was not their enemy. And then 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 12, he would fight battles for them with his men. So we read there in chapter 27, 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 12, it says, "And Achish believed David, saying, 'He has made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever.'" So he thought that he had David as a servant and as a mercenary that would fight his battles for him, because David fought battles for Saul and he won many, many battles for him. And so he realized that David was a very valuable man in his military, that he could incorporate him there. And so he found favor with the Philistines. But then we read that the Philistines were going to go into battle against Israel. And in chapter 29, when David and his men were in line there to go to battle with the people of Israel, the princesses of the Philistines, it says there in chapter 29, that they saw these Hebrews there, and they asked, "What are these Hebrews doing here? We don't trust them." And he was the one who killed thousands and thousands of the Philistines in battle under Saul, and he also killed our champion Goliath. We can't trust him. We don't want him to go to battle with Israel with us. He might turn against us during that battle and side with Israel. So they didn't want him coming. And that's the grace of God there again, showing itself, that he didn't want David to battle with his own people. David didn't want to battle with Israel. Those are his people that he loved. And he loved King Saul as well. He didn't want to fight with King Saul because he said that's the Lord's anointed. So the Lord saved him from that battle. So they sent them home and said, "You guys go home, because we don't want you battling with us. We don't trust you and we don't believe you." So they headed back home. So that's where chapter 30 starts. And if we could read in chapter 30, starting to read at verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten. Ziklag was burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken in captivity." You see, when David and them made this 3-day journey back home, they were hoping that they would find rest there, that they would find joy there with their family and their friends. And you just don't know what life is going to bring from day to day. It's a surprise. And it could be something horrible like here. When they came to that town, they found the town burnt and their wives and their children and all the people being carried away into captivity as slaves. Then verse 4 says, then David and his people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You know something, when you weep so much and your tears are coming out of your eyes and you spend a lot of time weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping, and the tears dry up and you can't weep anymore, and your eyes get sore and your heart gets bitter as you can't weep anymore. And that's where these men were at. Then David and his men were lifted up their voices. You can imagine the loud cries that were going out from the hearts of these men. They lost their wives, they lost their children, and they had no more power to weep anymore. And verse 5 says, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabab the Carmelitess. And verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So that's what happened when he returned back home. And so after 3 days, they were hoping for rest and peace and joy for a little while, and they found devastation, a sight of city burnt to the ground, and their families and friends all taken as slaves by the Amalekites. And verse 4 says, they had no more power to weep anymore. Their tears had all dried up. There was no more tears left in them. And there may come a time in our lives when we cry so much until we have no more tears left to cry with. If you haven't had this experience, keep living a little bit longer, and you may experience this experience that David and his men went through. Sometimes life has a way of dealing you a hand that's difficult to handle. And you say, Lord, I can't take it anymore. Enough is enough, Lord, I can't take it anymore. And the cruelty of life comes unexpectedly, no warning at all. We become fearful, we become discouraged and dismayed and weak. And when evil comes upon us like that, our bodies become very weak. They grow very weak. And we can't even stand up. And like these men that had finished their weeping and their crying and their howling for their loss, their spirits had become numb, and they couldn't function or think straight. They were strong-hearted people, and now they were brought to their knees when they saw this thing that had happened there. And these men that were valiant were now weak men, and they wept, and there was no more tears and for them to weep. They were not wimps, as one might think. And verse 6, David was greatly distressed, it says. His two wives were taken as slaves, and there the people wanted to stone him, and there was a mutiny being considered against him. And these rejects that were valiant men at one time, they wanted to kill David. You know that you're in a bad predicament when the rejects are rejecting you, and they don't want you, and they hate you. And Job also was being rejected by his reject miserable friends. And They didn't bring any comfort to his soul when they came to visit him. The souls of all the people was grieved or embittered, it says, and they felt that because following David and that their families got left unprotected, it was David's fault. If we live long enough, we may find ourselves in such a difficult situation ourselves. We may lose our families, our wives, our children, our relatives, all so-called friends who should encourage us and help us during our times of trouble. Turning away from us, don't want anything to do with us. Our businesses, our finances all fail. We lose everything. Relatives don't want to come near to us. And then even our dog dies, our pet dogs, and there's nothing left in this world. What do we do? How will we respond to these kind of calamities that might hit our lives? And like I said, they don't give you any kind of warning when they come. Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he said, man ought to always pray and not faint. And this is a time when people falter, when they get into this great depression or into this great calamity, they start faltering and their faith gets weak and they can't function anymore. And that's what these valiant men could not do anymore. They couldn't function anymore. They were so embittered by what had happened that they turned against David and they wanted to kill him. There's a man that I know. He stopped coming to church. And I asked him, you know, why have you stopped coming to church? I don't see you at church anymore. And he said to me, he said, he doesn't come to church anymore because every time he goes to church, something bad happens in his life. And I thought, well, something bad happens. You need to get closer to the Lord so that he will protect you from all these kind of things that you're talking about. But sometimes it's always in your mind, you know, and the people were discouraging themselves, just like here in this case, David's men, his people that were following him, they were discouraging themselves, just like this man I talked to when I asked him, why don't you come to church anymore? He was discouraging himself. He was thinking that every time I go to church, something bad happens to me. So I'm not going to go to church anymore. And that's a bad thing and a situation to get into, that your faith is so weak that you believe something like that, that because you go to church, bad things are happening to you. And these people were like that as well. People were discouraging themselves. But it says there that David encouraged himself in the Lord. So while they were discouraging themselves and trying to discourage David as well, David encouraged himself. The Hebrew word there for discourage is shezaz, which means he talked to himself. You know, sometimes it's important to talk to yourself, even though people might think you're crazy that you're talking to yourself. But you can talk to yourself out of something, out of doing something, and you could talk yourself into doing something. So if you talk to yourself during the times that you're going through these tribulations, that will be dependent on what your frame of mind would be at that time. And you can talk yourself into praising the Lord and looking to him, or you can talk yourself of going farther and farther away from the Lord. And those are the two things that people tend to do. Either they get closer to the Lord and consult him and bring all their troubles before him, or they walk away and they just go and think that God is not with them. Not good to talk to people who will discourage you. Job's friends were discouraging him all the time and blaming him for the situation he was in, which put doubt in Job's mind until God set his mind straight in Job chapter 38. And he asked Job, he says, Job, were you there when the foundations of the earth were put in? Job, were you there when the sun was created? And he asked him many, many questions. Where were you, Job? How could you question God? When God is almighty and all wise and all seeing. So Job learned a lesson from God that he was not to question God, because God has his own ways of doing things. It's not the ways that we might expect. And so people were blaming David for all their pain and suffering they were going through. And verse 6, there's a but in there. Whenever the Lord puts a but in a verse, usually means there's going to be a shift or there's going to be some kind of a change taking place. So with all this negativity going on with the people, David's men, it says but, meaning a shift taking place there. And David, it says, but David's mind shifted from the negativity of the people to a positive thing of the Lord. David killed a bear and the lion. David started thinking back how the Lord was with him during those times when he was a shepherd, and he relied on the Lord to protect his sheep. He couldn't protect his sheep when the lion came to devour his sheep or a bear to take his sheep away as a meal. He didn't have the strength for that, but the Lord gave him strength to fight the lion and to defeat the bear. And he must have looked back on that. And he must have looked back on the battle that he had with Goliath. And he defeated Goliath with a great victory that the Lord gave him. He couldn't do that. The Lord directed those stones right into the place where they should have gone to kill Goliath. Otherwise, David might have missed, and Goliath would have torn him apart. But the Lord was with him, and David realized that. He thought about the Almighty God that he served, and he remembered also the many stories that they were told about the Lord rescuing his people out of slavery in Egypt. And all the miracles that Moses performed, and even the miracle of drying the and making a path through the sea to take his people safely across to the other side. And in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17, it says, no weapon is formed against you shall prosper. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 13, I am the head and not the tail, the Lord proclaims. And in verse 8 of Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. And then Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I will trust and will remember the name of the Lord. He's speaking to himself when he recites all these verses from the Psalms. And he's speaking to himself that why should I get distressed in a situation like this? God is with me and he will help me through this as well, because he's helped me through many of these circumstances that he got into. And we remember Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. We are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us victory. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do nothing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in 15 and verse 51, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So if you could turn to Psalm 20, 27, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, if we could read that together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me. In this will I have be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauties of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to my Lord and to my God. So David reminded himself and lifted himself up in these cases when the difficulties of life would come to him. And he will make a way for us. That's what God is saying, that through the difficult times in our lives, he will make a way out for us. And we can be reassured of that. We don't know how, and we don't know where, and we don't know when. David didn't know how the Lord was going to help him. He didn't know where and how and when he was going to help him. But he put his faith and trust in his Lord, and the Holy One of Israel, one who makes a way out for us. John 14 and verse 6 says, I am the way. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. I will make a way for you, not just to go to heaven, but here on the earth as well. He makes a way for us to escape and get out of the problems that we create for ourselves many, many times. But the Lord is gracious and he helps us through it all. It's not what we're going through at the present time or the time of difficulty, but where we are going to is the question, is the most important question. It's not where we are going through, but where we are going to, and our places, eternal joys in heaven. We are not rejects and losers. We are winners through Christ our Lord, who fights our battles and brings victory for us. It's just a temporary time of sorrow and trying. Our eternity is joy unspeakable with Christ our Lord. And if we could read Psalm 42 as well, we could turn to Psalm 42 as well. In verse 5, Psalm 42 and verse 5. This is a time when David, you know, everybody gets depressed. Even David was depressed at times, and we get depressed like that. And here in verse 5 of Psalm 42, he says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hills of Mizar. So, you know, David always turned to the Lord's word when he got depressed or he got into trouble and he wanted a way out. And David, in verse 7 of, if we could turn back to Samuel again, 1 Samuel and chapter 30, keep your hands on that. And verse 7 says, And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. Now, an ephod is something that the high priest would wear. And he would put that as an apron on his over top of his clothing. And he would present himself to the Lord with the ephod on. But David was not a priest, yet he wanted to come before the Lord as a priest. And he got this ephod from the priest and he put it on and he went to the Lord with his request. And verse 8 says, "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Now, David could have maybe just gone after these people with his men and cheered his men up and said to them, "We're going to get back everything that we lost over there. And you just get your swords back in your sheaves and get on to your horses and let's ride. We're going to conquer those Amalekites and we're going to bring our children and our wives back." But no, David humbled himself. He didn't go to his soldiers or his people. He went to the Lord. And that's where his strength lies. And you know something? Our strength doesn't lie in people either. Our strength and our comfort lies in our Lord. And that's where we must turn during these times of difficulty. We must also put on this apron of like a priest and present ourselves to the Lord and bring our requests to him and our prayers. And the Lord answered his prayer, and he said to him, he said, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all." And so the Lord promised that he would go with him and that he would bring back all that the Amalekites had taken away and he would be restored of all that. And then when he was going on his way, and just listen to the provisions of God. Our God is a God of providence. And in verse 11, it says, "And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread. And he did eat, and they made him to drink." This man was left for dead by the Amalekites, and he was a servant of one of them, and he got sick on the way. So they didn't find any value in a sick man. They just left him there, back there, to die. And they had gotten many slaves after their raid, so they didn't need this slave. So there he was dying there. And David and his men found him, and the Lord led these men to this man for the very purpose that he was going to lead them to where they needed to go. And in verse 15, "And David said to him, Canst thou bring us down to the com this company? And he swear unto me by and he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me to the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company." So this slave knew exactly where they were going. And the Lord brought this slave to these people as they were on their journey to find their loved ones that were taken away. And so this man would show them the way. So the Lord made a way for David and his men and to go the right way. David is not that man that would seek his own way, but he seeks the Lord's way. We are a royal priesthood and a chosen people. And that says in 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9 and onward, we don't need an elder or a pastor or a minister to pray for us. We can pray for ourselves. We are a peculiar people. We are a priest of royal priesthood. And the Lord finds us precious in his sight. And we aren't like it was in the olden days where we had to go to the priest. But now we can approach the Lord ourselves because we are ourselves our priests, and the Lord will hear our prayers. It's good to pray for one another. The Lord has asked us to do that. And he sees our concern and our love for one another when we pray for one another. But we can also present ourselves before the Lord ourselves. We don't need to go to an elder or to a pastor to pray and for our needs and for our difficulties. We can do that before him. He hears our prayers all the time. What a wonderful Savior we have. And then in verse 8, David's answer, and the Lord provides this man to take him to the place where these Amalekites are camped. And the Lord and gives him great victory over these people when he gets there. And it says in verse 18, it says, "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoils nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And you know something? Not only did he recover all, but there was a bonus involved. So the Lord blessed David in all the difficulties that he had in life here. And this is just one story. When we read the story of Job and all the difficulty that he went through, he lost everything. But at the end of it all, the Lord restored him the doubled amount that he had in the beginning when he was so blessed of the Lord. He had doubled amount of children. He had those that died before, those were still his children, and those that he bore in after all this calamity that fell on him, and all the prosperity that the Lord gave him with all the livestock, the camels and everything else, the men and women servants, that was doubled what he had before that. So the Lord is gracious, and every time we open his word, he encourages us to look to him for our help. Because we can't turn to, no man can give us any help. It's not in their ability to do that. And the Lord is almighty and all powerful. And he's the only one that can save us and find a way out for us during this time of calamity. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, we read, "And God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Or it reads, "It will make us perfect." And this is what will happen. I know we sometimes live a life of suffering. There's many things that go wrong in our lives. You know, I know from the time that I was very young, life was very simple, and it wasn't so complicated. There weren't so many problems in life. When I look back in my life, we never locked the doors in our house. We never locked the doors on our cars, and our children ran wild on the streets, and we were never scared to walk on the streets of the city. And we had no fear that somebody would kidnap our children. But evil has grown over time exponentially. And there's a lot of evil lurking in the world. And we live in this world. And life gets harder and harder for us. And we don't know what difficulties that are going to be upon us as time goes by. But we can see that things are just going by very, very quickly in time. It seems like time is speeding up. And I think it's speeding up because our Lord is coming soon. And all these things that the Lord talked about are getting closer and closer and closer. All the things that he told us of the signs before his coming. And we thank thee that these are signs that encourage us that he is coming soon. And these toils of life and the sufferings that we go through are but a short time. And the glories and the joy of heaven is for eternity. So the Lord bless us as we continue to read the treasure house of his comfort that we find in his word from the beginning to the end. That's all he tries to do with all these stories, to teach us about the comfort that we find in him. We will never find any comfort or relief in this world. There's none, but we find our joy in him. And may we, during our times of tribulation and trials, always look to the Lord and not towards man. May we never get to that point where some of these men, their hearts got so embittered that they couldn't think straight and they wanted to kill their leader, David. We don't want to get to that point where But this man who said that he doesn't come to church anymore, because every time he comes to church, something bad happens in his life. The Lord is with us, and he's got our best interest in mind, and we need not fear what tomorrow might bring. So let's give thanks to the Lord. Our loving Father, we want to thank you for the comfort that we find in your word. We thank thee for all the stories we read, Lord. They're all of comfort. Everything that you talk about is for our comfort, that we might not be dismayed, that you would give us courage in our hearts to face another day of calamity and difficulties and all the things that life would bring us. And Lord, we just want to thank you again that your word does say that you will hold us by our right hand and you will take us through the deep waters that we go through. And Lord, we want to thank you again that you're always with us. You never slumber. And Lord, you've got our best interest in mind. And you will make that way out for us when we get into trouble and in difficulty. Lord, you will make a way for us to get out of it. Just like you did, you sent this man here to David and his men that showed him where the enemy was, where those ones, their loved ones that they were seeking, where to find them. And Lord, where to find them and bring them back home. And so, Lord, we want to thank you again for your word. We thank you again that we learn more and more about you, Lord, how much of a loving and a caring God you are. You take interest in every aspect of our lives, whether it be very small, Lord, or very insignificant, or really important things in our lives. Lord, you take such an interest in us. How can we be so? Sometimes we just get so numb about these kind of things, Lord. But we should always bring it to ourselves. We should bring these psalms unto ourselves, into our hearts, and think of the great things that you've done in our lives. Lord, I can recall the many, many wonders and miracles that you performed in my life. How could I ever be disheartened when I look at thee? So, Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for all our brothers and sisters who have come to hear your word and to pray. And Lord, we thank thee again for your blessings that you pour out on your people. We give thee thanks and bless thee and praise thee, for thou art our Father in heaven, and thou art our Savior and our Redeemer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in your own precious name. Amen.